We are itching closer to spring. We are itching closer to some good weather. And with good weather, we ended up, what we end up doing here, as soon as you guys are into planting gardens and things, are ready to do that. I mean, that's around the corner. And when you plant things, you expect those things in the fall time or in the time of harvesting, that you expect something from all the things that you have planted. So this is what I share today. We're going to talk about growing in our walk with the Lord, our growing in the knowledge of Christ. I hope today that you have and you want to grow in your relationship with Christ. Amen? But also know that growing in Christ also is not just in our relationship with Him, but also is biblical knowledge, that we would grow into that, because that actually helps us. Getting closer to the Lord. And so we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6 today. That's where we're going to be. So Hebrews chapter 6, but I want to start here in chapter 5. So these books of the New Testament, they are so amazing. They are amazing. You got the four Gospels. You got the great book of Revelation. You got all these things in between, the birth of the church and all these things. You got how to work with leaders, all the stuff that helps grow the church. And so we need these things. And all these books are amazing. And sometimes when we talk about what book is the most difficult book really to understand, Old Testament, a lot of people will say Ezekiel. Can be kind of tough to understand. And there's some things where you just got to read it and you just got to wrestle through it and move on and go to the next and come back and reread it again. Well, the book of Hebrews is kind of that way as well. If I would say there's one tough, it is where we're going to go today. And so we're going to go in this area today because we all need to grow in our walk with the Lord, and we need to grow up in it. Now, if you struggle reading your Bible, I want to remind you that God wants us to read the Word, okay? We need to read the Bible, okay? If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up, but it needs to be part of your life. Not just listening to preachers on radio, not just listening to other people, but you need to read it yourself. So we're going to go in here in Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start in here for a minute, and then we're going to go into some deeper things, and then we're going to go into probably the most hardest verses to understand in the New Testament. So Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for what is transpiring this morning with the music and the singing. And we just pray, Father, that we lifted up our hearts and our spirits to you today. We ask, Lord, now as we turn our attention, Lord, from singing to and worshiping to getting into the Word, may we take it as spiritual food today. And we ask your favor, and we ask for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says in verse 11 of chapter 5, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. Again, you need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. So today, everybody has a level on what you know and your experiences with God and what you know of your knowledge of God's Word. I want to remind you right now that everybody needs to continue to grow in their knowledge of the Word. Amen? Me too. I need to keep reading the Word, keep wrestling through these harder scriptures, and keep working through them. How many times have I read the book of Jonah? How many times have I read the book of Mark? I need to read it again. I need to read it again because there's more for me to continue to learn. Now today, there's going to be some things. We're going to talk about this. I mean, honestly, it's going to go right over some of your heads, but it's okay. Because the scriptures, it continues to tell us that we're all at a different level. That we're all at a different level. And we need to understand. So those that may be more mature and the belief doesn't mean you're better than anybody. It just means you know more biblical, that you're working through things, whatever it may be. But you need to be patient with those who may not know as much as you. And so today, sometimes we have to talk about the basics so that those who need to learn will continue to learn about the basics. But also you that are working through the basics need to be patient and also understand that sometimes there's going to be a message that's going to be a little more difficult. and you're just going to, you take it in and you listen to it. So if you can grab and grasp a couple of things in it, by the time it's over, you've grown a little bit. Even though you may not understood it all and understand all of it, you're growing. So there's a part for everyone to continue to read God's Word. Amen? Amen. Not just listening to people on the radio, not just listening to those things like that. And listen, I want to tell you, music is beautiful. It really is. It touches the heart. A heart is this whole thing where we just love the Lord and we sing. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot grow your relationship with just music. That's what a generation, we'd almost lost a whole generation doing that, just thinking, all I need to do is attend this concert. All I need to do is listen. These people really connect with me. They may connect with you in their music and words, but I want to remind you, sometimes those words are not biblical. You need to know the Word of God so that you know that certain songs are not biblical. You even know that you hear them on the Christian radio station. So, and we don't live off our emotions. Emotions is a gift that God gives to us, okay? But we need to know God's Word, okay? So what we just read here is this whole thing about, there's a group of these Hebrews, this group is Hebrew. What's really unique about this is this book is the Hebrews. We don't know who the writer is. Many people say it's Paul, but sometimes we look at it and goes, man, this is not written like the way Paul writes. So there's a little bit of a debate there, but it doesn't matter. We have the book of Hebrews, and this is really about Hebrews, and we don't really hear much. So Israel, Jews, we the people of Israel, they're Israelites, they're Jews, they're Hebrews, we get all those names. It's like in America, we're Americans, we hear that title. If you're from Indiana, you're a Hoosier. You got all these little nicknames, you're the Western people. You get all these nicknames. So the people of Hebrew, these Hebrews that he's writing to, they become believers, but some of them are starting to want to mosey back to the Judaism, want to mosey back into the temple and go back to the way it was. And just basically that is not good at all. And we're going to talk about that. But he says that about solid food is for the mature and for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. So there's some things to know if you're in that mature area that you should know good from evil, but also there's some other things that pertain. But distinguishing between good and evil, listen, today there's people that are not strong in the Word. They're still, he's talking about being on the milk, not growing in the relationship. Here's somebody because they have a big name, because they said it, they believe it. And a mature person will say, listen, I respect them, but what they just said, that's not really what God's saying. I also want to remind you in Scripture, there are some things that we wrestle with. That's why we have different denominations. Some denominations believe in certain things. Some believe that baptism, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, baptism saves, talks about different things. I want to remind you, there are different things between theology and doctrine, and I need to move on before I get too deep into this hole. So here we go in chapter 6. This is where I want to go. Chapter 6 is where probably the most difficult Scriptures in the New Testament understanding, because even commentary, guys that do commentaries avoid this. Many of them will avoid this section. There's a couple verses they're going to avoid, but not the ones we're going to work with first. So we're going to work with a couple here, and then we'll get to that here in just a little bit. So he says in verse 1, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Okay, here it is. Now he says, this is all about the element. This is the key. Elementary teachings about Christ. Also want to tell you that I do not know Greek. I do not know Aramaic. And sometimes these translations are very difficult, okay? Like the word if, there is no word. There is no word. We use the word if. If you have King James Version, you have the NIV, you're using the Holman. There's some different ways that it's been translated. The word if is not in the Hebrew. It's not in their language. So we use the word if, and we struggle with even how to use that word, because it's going to be in here in just a little bit. But therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. So he's saying this is what we need. We're going to move on and go on to the maturity. Now, here's what he has. This little spot here talking about the basic elementary pieces, okay? He says this. So he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of the hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and we will do this if God permits. And if you're reading that scripture, you'll probably look at that and you go, oh, okay, and go on. But there's always something that we're lingering, like, okay, I didn't really understand. What's those ritual washings, those kind of things. So let's go back. Let's begin. One of the things he's talking about, these elementary teachings are, he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So these works are what we do for the Lord. This is how we serve God. This is what we do. So it's not that we're not, we're not talking about the repentance of from dead works. Well, we would repent and come back to God knowing that because we weren't doing the works that we were struggling and we weren't doing it for the right heart. But he also says faith in God. So faith in God is our belief. It's understanding that there is no salvation except through God, and that comes through Christ. Okay? It's a basic elementary teaching. Okay? That is the gospel. It's also, it comes down to number two, teaching about ritual washings. Ritual washings, okay? Yeah. The ritual washings can be translated in a couple of different ways, but here it is. This is about the elementary teachings of Jesus, not cultural pieces. Okay? They had all their cultural washings, but if we're talking about the elementary teachings of baptism, then we have to wrestle with a couple of things. In Scripture, there are other baptisms. We read it and we pass on. So one of those baptisms, the baptism of water, the baptism of suffering, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. And we see these scriptures in here and we struggle with them. But again, this is about the elementary teachings of Jesus, okay? The elementary teachings of Jesus. I want to share something here. If I go over to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Mark chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus is talking to a couple of disciples. And he says, Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking, okay? These disciples were asking something from Jesus. And he says, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup or be baptized with the baptism I am being baptized with? Now, Jesus was already baptized in Matthew chapter 4. So what's he talking about? This is the baptism of suffering. Okay? So if we talk about that baptism, we say, wait a minute, Jesus was already baptized. Jesus was already baptized after, you know, right before he went into the time of temptation. So that can't be that. So it's a suffering, a baptism of suffering is what he's saying. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized in? Also, we see, you know, we see scriptures of Mark 1:8 talks about the spirit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So here, but here's what we come up with. Here's what we come up with. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28, and I want to help us with this for a second. Now, here's what we get. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to lose about half of you, but I need to do messages like this. I really do. We need to do messages like this so that we will grow. Okay, if we stay on the elementary things of Christ, we're not going to grow. And so, but this is still somewhat elementary. This is elementary pieces. So here it is. Now we're talking about, so we have these other baptisms. I'm not going to go through all of them because we just don't have the time. But here it is. This baptism of, so this baptism he's talking about, Jesus says this, all authority, so Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, there are people that will say that you can't, there's people that will say that you're not saved unless you're baptized. There's people that will say that if you're not baptized, did you get the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. It really does. We pick sometimes a Scripture and we just camp there, but we don't use other Scriptures to, because the Scriptures will come together. Do I believe that we know do I believe that we know everything in God's Word? I do not believe that we as men know everything in God's Word. I believe that it is a piece that we have to wrestle with. We have to continue to study and keep working forth, becoming the men and women that God's called us to be. Once we feel like that we have obtained it, then we are treading in some very dark waters of thinking that we are now equal with God, and we are not. Even the Scripture says there are some things that are just a mystery to us, but they're God's secrets. Okay? So, I want to read a Scripture here, as it says in Matthew, that this whole thing with Matthew is being baptized. That's why I feel baptized this morning. Chance in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a King James person, that's cool. baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Okay? But some people will say, oh, were you baptized in Jesus? Oh, you got to be baptized in the Spirit. Spirit does not trump Jesus. Spirit is God's Spirit. But I want to read what Paul writes to the people of Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. He says, therefore, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope as your calling. That calling, that is the gospel. Okay, that hope is the gospel. Okay, as you grow, you'll hear the word hope, and a lot of that, you'll know, as you grow, you'll say, that's the gospel. But other people are thinking, oh, that's hope that I'm going to get fixed. I'm going to get healed, whatever it may be. But just as you were called to the one hope at your calling, verse 5, one Lord, okay, there's only one Jesus, one faith, not two, one faith, and one baptism. This is making it very clear that everything is one. One God, the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and all. So let me read this. So here he's talking about this whole thing. He's trying to help these people and then let them understand these teaching of ritual washings, but there's only one. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I do not need to be baptized in another name or separate, but we can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that was also, as Jesus said that, and here Paul reaffirms that we only need one baptism. One baptism. One baptism, but it needs to be the real deal. It needs to be your baptism with the Lord. Okay, so we understand a little bit about that. Then it talks about here, the next piece is back to Hebrews, laying on the hands. Laying on the hands. So back in the day, they would do sacrifices. They would lay their hands on their sacrifice, and they would just put them and do the thing of sacrificing. But also Scripture talks about when we get to the New Testament, so these are the elementary teachings of Jesus. So you got to go back to that. Here it is. These laying on the hands is a symbolic piece that we set people aside for something. If we have an altar call, we have an anointing, we do an anointing piece in our service, we'd have people come down, and then that person that we need to pray for, or that group of people, we would lay hands on that people. We would set them aside for that moment, and we would pray for them, right? This thing is bothering me today. And then other times we would say, oh, someone feels called, that God's calling them into the deacon role. Or a young man will say, God is calling me to preach His word. And we would set them aside, and they go through some things. And there becomes that moment where we would lay hands on them. So we're symbolically setting them aside. So that's what the laying of hands on. And it is not being slain in the Spirit. I'm not saying that God can't do extra things. I believe that God can. I've seen things, but I'm telling you, sometimes we get on the emotional things so much that we are forgetting that those are not the normal things that happen. And people will put their whole belief system in one or two things, slaying in the Spirit, all those kind of things, speaking in tongues, those kind of things. But I want to remind you, speaking in tongues is just, it's a whole thing in Corinthians. There was a problem with speaking in tongues. They have interpreters and all those things. It's a very enlightening piece when you really study it and you try to be open-minded reading God's Word. And I want to tell you, God is not the author of confusion. So there has to be an interpreter, and it has nothing to do with salvation. Period. It has nothing to do with salvation. And then we turn around and we come into not just the laying on of hands. So I did want to tell you, Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy needed to be encouraged a little bit. And he writes this. He says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, don't be too quick to appoint. If you have the King James Version, New King James Version, it'll say, do not be too quick to laying on of hands. Okay? All right? Laying on of hands on anyone as an elder. As a leader, don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. But there's a piece here that Paul was telling Timothy, don't be so quick at putting the hands on someone to be a leader. Okay? They need to grow. Individuals, sometimes, I've seen that happen in a couple of churches where somebody will come in and they get all excited about who Jesus is, don't know much about the person. They push and they kind of get into some spots. They weren't really, and so basically what happens is they fizzle real quickly. or you find out real quick what they're about. Okay? So that's laying on the hands. And then another one is, the fifth one would be the resurrection of the dead. It's very, sometimes we get this really complicated. We make it more complicated than it is. But the problem is we have people that want to say that there's something called soul sleeping. I don't know if you've ever heard of soul sleeping. It is where the person, just when the person dies, they are sleeping in their spirit. They're just sleeping in their spirit. And that's it. And then they don't come to wake up until Jesus calls them. But Scripture also rebukes that as well. And so they'll see little pieces in there because they'll say they have fallen asleep. You know, so here we go. Let's look and see here. So the spirit, basically this resurrection piece is about the spirit returning to the body at the trumpet call. Okay. So let me read Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24. He says, "For me, to live is Christ and die is gain." So Paul is reading, he's writing to Philippian people about this peace. "I'm not sure if I really want to stay with you because I'd rather be with Jesus. But if I stay with you, it's for your benefit." So what does he say here? He says, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me." Okay? "And I don't know which one I should choose. He says, I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is better. But to remain in the faith is more necessary for your sake." So he's saying, I want to go and be with Jesus, or I'm going to stay here and work and serve Jesus, and it's going to help and benefit you. Now, if that's being said, where's this thing about sleeping? He said he was going to be with Jesus. And then it says in Thessalonians 4:16, he says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with an archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." There's your resurrection of the dead. "And then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will also be with the Lord." So we do know there that the resurrection, that we will be with the Lord. But here we are, can be with the Lord in spirit. And then we'll be the Lord with the body, but we will not, the resurrection of the dead, we will not have that old body that we had, but we have a new body. Our old body is all messed up. It decayed, right? Right? So, these are those things. And then the last one here is the eternal judgment. This is it. There is a judgment coming on eternity for every one of you. Me, everyone that has breathed life, and everyone that is going to be until the very end, there is a judgment that is coming for your eternal destiny for every human being. You don't get out of it. Because this is not America's world. This is not Russia's world. This is God's world. We're God's creation. He's in charge, and he demands everything be judged in the way he's going to judge. What he's going to do is the people that do not believe and did not believe in Christ, they are going to be judged with the great white throne judgment. Separation. God's not going to judge believers with unbelievers. Not going to do that. So those who don't know Christ will be judged with the great white throne judgment, and that will be all by works. And everyone will fail because they're sinners, because we're all sinners. The other is the judgment seat of Christ. Those are believers. Here is the difference. We are not judged for salvation. They're judged for salvation. We did not push God. We did not push the gift of salvation away. We took the gift of salvation. But what are we being judged for there? We're being judged by and for how we were, not how we serve God, all the things that we've done. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So we struggle with that. It's not about our salvation. But also, this judgment kind of scares me a little bit. Have I taken my salvation for granted? Have I taken the 50 years, the 40 years, the 40 years I've been as a believer, have I taken it for granted? I honestly think that the Lord's going to tear me apart for a minute. I'm going to be honest. I probably did some things that I did for Jimmy. or for my own purposes, my own reasons. I didn't put God first. May it look like it on the outside. I think he's going to tear me up a little bit. It's a righteous judgment. I'm only special because of Jesus. That's it. You're only special because of Jesus. Your thoughts are hideous. Your actions outside of Jesus are pitiful. Mine are too. So I do have a judgment that's coming, but praise God I do have Jesus. He will stand there, and you do too, that will stand there and advocate. That's all been forgiven. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that it's going to be a little tough. It's going to be a little tough. So the judgment seat of Christ, I don't think it's going to be an easy one for us. And here's the thing. When you start growing in your maturity with Jesus, you'll understand that. But when you're not and you stay immature as a believer and you stay in the milk, you'll always go, at least I'm saved. Make sense? At least I have salvation. Well, when you're growing in Christ, it's not just about, at least I have salvation. No, I have salvation. I'm living, as Paul says, work out your salvation. And so there's a difference in the attitude of how we take Christ in. Just got a few minutes left. It took longer than I thought. Now I want to tackle one of the hardest pieces there is. I'm going to do my best with it so that we can understand this piece. Because there's several interpretations on it. I'm just going to share three of them, the stronger ones. And I'm going to share with you how I feel, what that is. And the reason I think sometimes we have to tackle these is we have to do that. So he says this, from verse 4, for it is impossible. Now, if your version may say if it, but for it is impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared the Holy Spirit, who tasted God's word and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away. This is because to their own harm they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him up to contempt. I think I need to read that piece one more time. For it is impossible to renew to repentance. But basically saying to repentance, those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, who tasted God's good word. That's all good stuff right there, except for the beginning. And the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away. This is to their own harm. They are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him up to contempt. But it says, for it is impossible to renew to repentance. God is always about repentance. So one of the interpretations is you can lose your salvation. People struggle with this. This is one where people say it is impossible. It is impossible to renew to repentance those who were once. As you want to put it into a pocket, maybe saved. That is one of those pieces that people interpret this as saying that you can lose your salvation. Well, that scares me to death, but that doesn't mean that my fear of that, it makes it biblical, but it does, because you know what? I sin. I still sin. I don't like to, but I still sin. I've always told someone that says you can lose your salvation, I said, where's the line? Where is the line that I step over that says I lost my salvation? Well, I'm going to gravitate more to God's word where it says in Romans 8:1, he says, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Well, the scripture says that they were once enlightened, so they were in Christ, who has tasted the heavenly gift, and people say you can lose your salvation. But he says there's no condemnation now that exists for those in Christ Jesus. Now, remember, we just talked about six other things that were the elementary teachings of Christ. And he said back there in verse 3, and if we will do this, we will go on to more mature things. He says, verse 3, and we will do this if God permits. And he's writing this letter. And so here it is. People believe that they can lose their salvation. But John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, ever. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one. And there's so many other scriptures, we don't have time, but my salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. But I want to remind you, there are people that there are Christians who can become prodigals. But I want to tell you, I do not believe that this is talking about losing your salvation. The second one has a little more merit to it, but it is one that they say, well, these people were never truly believers. They come up in, they work through it, and they just never were believers. But what does the word say? It says, who were once enlightened. How can believers be enlightened? But then it says, who tasted the heavenly gift, and they'll say, well, they heard about the gospel. They heard those things. Who shared in the Holy Spirit. That's where I struggle right there. But also, people can be a part of it in a room if the Holy Spirit comes upon, and we're doing, people can kind of observe it, but they're not really sharing in it. And then it says, and then who's tasted God's word, we can get that, and the powers of the coming age. It's a little more difficult there. So these are scripture people who believe that this is a part where they the believers are not, these people were not truly believers. He said, they'll go back and say, this is part of Matthew where the four soils, and maybe this is where they were on the rocky path or on the thorny path and those things. But, and so that's the one that's being many times favored. But there is another interpretation, which I tend to agree on more likely so, is these verses are not talking about salvation. These verses are not talking about it at all. It's pertaining to the fruit of our salvation. And that becomes that's a big maturity piece. Because Scripture is context. Reading. So many times we read Scripture and we don't finish the chapter. Amen? We don't have time to finish this whole chapter. That's what I do love about the guys that preach here. Most of the time we'll read, a lot of times we'll read almost the meat of a chapter. And so here it says, so this is about a believer's life who brings forth fruit, their fruit. Now, if we look at it in that way, because here's what it is. Verse 9 is the key. Even though we are speaking this way, dearly loved friends, in your case, we are content. We are confident of these things that are better and that pertain to salvation. Moving on. That's what he's wanting to do. Move on and that pertain. So they want to talk of the confident of things that are better and that pertain to salvation. They're wanting to move on to things that are better than what he's talking about and into salvation, which he goes into more of Abraham and all those things. So here's what we do. We look at it and we say, okay, if this is pertaining to salvation, what does this line up with? Lines up with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, verse 15. So, for no one can lay any other foundation than that what has been laid down. That is, the foundation is Jesus Christ. You cannot lay, and I cannot lay, a foundation of New Life Fellowship. The foundation has to be on Jesus Christ. Foundation is what you build upon. It, what we build on here has to be upon Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen? However, he says, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hair, or straw, and you know, God's not interested in those things, right? He says, each one's work will become obvious. And for that day, we'll disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. Verse 15 says, if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. But he will be saved. And yet will be like an escape through fire. Fire purifies. You have salvation in Christ. That fire is not going to purify you in that sense of your salvation, because your salvation is solid if you have it in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's sealed. Sealed to the day of redemption. Right? You go to the book of Ephesians. Sealed to the day of redemption. So what is being burned up? When we go through that, what is being burned up? It's the works that we didn't do. We built our stuff, we built those works on things that were not of God. gold, silver. Listen, a lot of these churches that are built, I know there's good, gigantic churches that are godly. Let's not think that a church that is huge, a mega church, is unbiblical. But there are many that are unbiblical. They built it on money and thought money was everything. It will, all that will be burnt up. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher. Some churches use elders, some use deacons, some use, but whatever it is, it doesn't matter the title. Because no title, no title is over Jesus Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone. And so here we see that it shows that we must know that here it comes. Now it says that we need to know that whatever it is that we have, that we've done, is going to be judged. And it says, you know, just if a believer produces wrong things, bad fruit, you're going to suffer loss. And I think, honestly, we're all going to suffer a little loss. Every time a person sings a solo in church doesn't mean they were singing for Jesus. Sometimes I'm singing for that girl in the back, and my mind's not even on what I'm singing, but boy, I know how I can sing this song, and I'm just going to light this place up because, man, I'm good. Walking in the pulpit and going to preach this because then people need to hear what I got to say today. Preaching out of anger. An unrighteous anger. Because they didn't get what they wanted in a meeting. They didn't get the way they wanted in a vote. They didn't get whatever they wanted. And so, and it does say in Scripture that the teachers and preachers will be judged more harder. Just want to let you know that. So this is an important piece. It's not about salvation. It's about the process of you living for Christ. It's what you're producing out of your salvation. There's a scary part in this. He said, if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. Listen, you know what? We all say, you know, there's no hearse behind the hearse. There's no U-Haul behind the hearse. There we go. You can't drag no junk to heaven either. You can't drag selfish things to heaven. If Jesus is not tagged to anything, it gets dropped. You got to leave it at the door. It gets burned up. You know what I like about being burned up? Means you can't reach back and grab it. It's just gone. It's gone. Here, everybody will fight for what you left over, going to give it away. But in heaven, it just gets, before you get to, in that passing, it just gets burned up. God just says, we don't want it, and we don't need it, and you don't need it. We're done with it. But the sad part of this is he says, even though if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he will be saved. What? How is that? Well, the Bible does say in Ephesians, we don't get to heaven by works, right? It's by grace. At least any man should boast. It's by, not by works, but by grace. So this man is saved. And how is he saved? He is saved through Jesus Christ. And if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he himself will be saved. Yet it will be like an escape through fire. The only way that person's getting to heaven, the only way, is they've got Jesus. That's it. But the truth of it is, that's the only way all of us get to heaven. This is why Jesus kept saying, build up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't affect. He kept saying, build up your treasures in heaven, where the thief don't steal. Jesus talked about that stuff a lot. If he talked about it a lot, it's pretty important. But yet the man will be saved. Yet it will be like escape through fire. The sad part of it is, folks, some people's going to go to heaven empty-handed. I don't want to go that way. Because most people want to say, as we begin to grow in our walk, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. How are you going to hear that if you ain't got nothing in your hands? How are you going to hear that if it's just you? He said you'll escape through fire. Be like one escaping through the fire. It's kind of a disappointment. I don't want to be a disappointment to God. I think I've already been a disappointment so many times, man. I've disappointed Jesus so many times. And I'm probably not the only one in the room. And there's so many times I want to kick myself in the butt and say, what the world are you doing, man? We all fall at times. We've all stumbled. Peter did. Ah, Jesus, I'll go with you all the way to the cross. Jesus said, no, you won't. No, you won't. Yeah, well, I mean, Peter was pretty tough. He cut a dude's ear off. I mean, he's a pretty tough dude. But with all them soldiers and stuff, he took off. Jesus found him again later on after his resurrection, found him out there fishing and brought him up and met each other. And Jesus restored him. Isn't that kind of what we do? We kind of run off for a minute. Jesus knows exactly where we are, restores us. But you know what was really cool? Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do, and he started serving the Lord like he never had before. Yeah. All the apostles stumbled and fell. And we all fail from time to time. And I'm probably going to fail him again. I hate to say that because I don't want to. But we live in this broken world. And there's no excuse. It's still mine. Whatever it is that I would do, that I want to pray, that I'm not going to do those things. But when I do, I can jump on Scripture and ask for forgiveness of Christ. And He restores and forgives and all those things. But nowhere in there did He say, Jimmy, you just lost your salvation. You know what I found out about people who say they can lose their salvation? Most of the time, they don't even realize that they're trying to work themselves into God's favor. They're trying to work themselves into heaven. Most of the time, they do no ministry at all because they're too busy pointing a finger at everyone. And they're judging everyone. And they're being so critical. And they wake up every day and they really can't get past. I've been a part of a church like that where people just kept, I got to get saved today. I sinned last week. Well, brother, I said, if you keep doing that, I said, you don't even know what salvation is. You're thinking salvation is by every time you commit a sin that you lost your salvation. You're claiming that Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection was you're putting him on the cross over and over and over again. But you're either saved or you're not. And I know some of these things that might have went, oof, right over his head. But I guarantee you got something out of these scriptures today. So the next time we battle through this and we work through it, we're going to tackle some of the things that we didn't get to talk about. Because there's other things in here. All I know is today is when I read through this, I'm like, Lord, this is just reminding me that I do need to know the elementary basics of my Christianity with Jesus. But also I need to know that there's a warning to me, also a warning not to fall away. Remember, this is written to the Hebrews people that were wanting to go back to the temple. Here it is. And she, no. Remember, God is watching everything. You know the basics, but now let's talk about what you're doing. Because these people thought, for keeping the law. No, it's about keeping the word of God. Fathers, we take a moment here that your Spirit has searched our hearts and our souls today, that we would have desire to do what you'd have for us. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's